on that. All right. Many of you know we've had this, as I said in the early part of this, it is IANA's business to do root zone management, so it's part of our plan. We've had this signed route that was designed courtesy of some help from some of you folk for about 15 months. It's a replacement for the root zone. It's a root zone test, but it has there's a hints file on the web page associated with it. If you load that up as your hints file, everything will just work, and it's been working for 15 months just fine. It's taught us some things, and it uses an HSM and all the other good stuff. I'll get into that in a minute. Interim trust anchor repository, almost done. We have something called Root Zone Management System, which is a web-based thing that'll simplify the way things like DS records and NS records will get processed. It's a two-factor authentication system, so everyone gets a fob, and it'll be something that actually has security in mind in its use. Automation. It's been drilled into me. That's the most important aspect here. This thing cannot ever have an expired signature. That just can't happen. So automation is something we focused on very much in this design. Kept it as simple as possible. Okay, all right, let's speed up. Let's just go to the picture. Okay, there's a picture. All right. So this is what we have now, okay? The red is, well, this is the red-black designation when people talk about security things, but the red is the contents of the safe. We've put these HSMs. The HSMs are these level four. They're used by UN, some UN agencies, treaty organizations to store keys as well. We have all that inside a safe, as well as the signer, root zone database, as well as anything else that has the information to be signed in it, as well as some of the hidden masters. And those IP addresses all work. Everything in this picture is accurate. The numbers are accurate. Let's see. Yeah, we have there's an Anycast server as well that's been out there down on the lower left-hand corner that PCH has so kindly allowed us to use. That's helped a lot in our testing. There's biometrics there. The safe sits inside a cage, which has biometrics on it. That sits inside another facility, which has biometrics on it, and that sits inside a 24-hour manned location that keeps things secure. And the idea of putting things in a safe here is, it was touched on a little bit earlier. You could do the most secure key handling you could possibly do, but if the content is subject to compromise, then you really haven't done too much here. So the idea is if we put the database inside the safe as well and make sure any control to rights, a change of rights or access control to the database can only be controlled by actually physically accessing it by opening a safe, that helps us do that. So since I only have 2 minutes, I think that's the design, just to show that we actually did build something, and it actually is operating. It has, this is a busy slide. It's got the website on top that tells you the status of the thing. So this is where we are. Yeah, these are all things that reliability is important. That's why you'll see in this picture, I'll just leave that picture up. That's why you'll see in this picture, you'll see multiple signers, doubles of everything. Our intent is to duplicate this whole facility as well, two or three times in other places. So that's to ensure that the thing just keeps working. So thanks for your time. And it's your root. Here's a screen for the Trust Anchor repository just to show you that we actually are doing something. it's your root. If there's any way, if you're interested in helping design the final layout of this thing, please send in your comments, not to us. Send them into that notice of inquiry. And if you want to help us test this, of course, anytime, just bang away at those things. Those things are wide open, nsiana.org, port 53. Go for it. Let's keep the pressure up, and I think we'll get a signed route. So that's it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Any questions or comments to Rick?
Wow. I must be doing something wrong. All right.
Peter, again from Burnet, the Swedish radio star. There have been some. I've heard some communities, not this community, but some other communities say that they feel they have not enough influence over ICANN or IANA.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously here seeking input actively. Is that going on? You said you were doing presentations all over. Where else?
Well, I have been given presentations on the technical side of this.
Okay.
Okay, so it's been mostly the technical side. I think that's probably why I'm not getting that particular audience, but I'm interested in hearing from that audience more and more, because it certainly would be a shame to get all the approvals and be ready to do this and then have, you know, a large part of, you know, the interested stakeholders say, stop. And that's a difficult thing, because DNSSEC is a complicated thing. You know, this is a great venue. You guys, not just in this hall, but in the other ones, are trying to educate the rest of the people about this, and I think that's very important. Yeah, I mean, I would love to talk to these individuals as well. Every time I go to a Wright meeting, give a presentation, I get feedback from a lot of other CCTLD operators from other countries and try to understand what their concerns are. And what I'm finding more than anything else is it's first of all, it's just education.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step is, okay, well, you know, what would you like us to do? And they take it back to their, sometimes, governments, and waiting to hear back.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Steve? Thank you. Rick, let me put you on the hot seat here for just a minute. Before the route can be signed, there has to be agreement from all of the key parties who have an active role in the process. Mm-hmm. And in particular, the Department of Commerce, the U.S. Department of Commerce, which is undergoing its notice of inquiry now, as you said.
Yep.
And you've talked about your activity, and then in addition, the other players include VeriSign and the root server operators.
Mm-hmm.
I came in midway in your talk. You probably didn't mention, but we've been surveying the root server operators periodically over the past couple of years, and I believe they now are fundamentally all in the shape that they can serve DNSSEC. So that's taken care of. So here's the hot seat question for you. If all of the other parties, Commerce and VeriSign and so forth, all said, okay, we're ready, and attention turns to you, how long would it take for you to be in business, up and running?
9 months.
9 months.
I know that may sound like a long time. 6 of those months would be communicating with those DNSSEC experts in the community to come up with the final design, 3 months for testing. Many of you would say, that's way too short, but that's what was in our proposal. Our proposal's on the net, and it says 9 months.
What precludes starting that process now while you're waiting for decision processes?
Nothing in my mind, except I would hate to waste the time of some of the DNSSEC experts if at the last hour we have Commerce decide that or suggest that a different proposal was in order.
I see.
I mean, I mean, the people and the guys that have helped us out, help me out, are just, you know, as you could imagine, very much in demand.
Right. Right.
So, and more in demand since the Kaminsky attack. So.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Rick, from a DNS resolve operator's point of view, it's interesting to know when the root zone is signed. When do you think it will be? In 1 year? In 5 years? In 10 years?
I think this is just my personal opinion.
Yes.
Okay. looking at the progress that we're making so far, I would expect. I said we'd be ready in 9 months, but you know, I'm thinking a yearish. You know, like. A year.
Less than 5 years, but more
less
than
5 years, yeah.
But more than 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, so even if, you know, theoretically, if someone says today, you're clear, go do it, 9 months, I think we'll have something ready. But I just have this kind of gut feeling that there's going to be a little more process here involved. Not from ICANN, but from the just kind of the overall external players are going to that are catching up now. I was saying that a lot of people, it's taken a while for them to understand even what DNSSEC is. Once this reaches a certain level, particularly at government levels, there are going to be people that are going to say, what's that? How, you know, I didn't know about this. You didn't tell me. And I think that's going to slow things down a bit. So I'm saying a year,
okay.
Regardless of who ends up doing it, because there is a lot of demand. And that's why my last bullet on my slide was keep your foot on the gas. I think there's a, even after this notice of inquiry is over, there still needs to be, and you know, Dan Kaminsky, it's a vulnerability thing has long since passed and forgotten. There still needs to be a continued push on some of the players, and I'm not talking about us engineers, we're fine here, but further up, that this needs to be done.
Okay. So. Does anyone want to challenge that? 2 to 4 years, is that is Rick's guess? Does anyone want to challenge that guess with some motivation too, not just a guess?
No, I'm not going to challenge that. I'm going to ask you both for a clarifying response or for a clarifying addition. You, Mats, were concentrating on the root zone being signed, but Rick also presented that the ITAR is going to be available real soon now, and rumors that I've heard make that real soon now a single-digit number of days maybe, right? You don't have to respond anyway. So for the resolver operator, and you in particular, sorry for putting you on the spot, what is the basic remaining difference, not for mass deployment, but for an ISP level resolver operator? What qualitative difference would you perceive in an IANA run interim trust anchor repository with all the TLDs, DS records in there or assigned root? So does the 2 to 4 years make any difference anyway?
Okay. If IANA runs a DLV, which operates contains the keys, the difference between that and assigned root is technically very little. Very, very little. But still... DLV is not a standard.
Hang on. Yes. DLV is the root of all evil. I was particularly referring to the Trust Anchor repository, and DLV might be one entrance to the data published with that. But when I talk about Trust Anchor repositories, and that's what the group at the RIPE DNS working group had in mind, at least in a large part, that might be some offline copy of a PGP or however signed repository of all the DS records. So don't take the TAR for DLV.